Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fardis.
Let's take a look now at some of the opening arguments here from Alex Spiro. This is the defense of Alec Baldwin.
It is undisputed that the bullet was loaded into the gun by the armorer, the person on set whose responsibility it was to ensure the gun was safe. And so picture that moment of the armorer placing a live bullet into that firearm. You know, you hear the prosecutor say, you know, he did this or he performed in a certain way. He picked out the biggest gun as his prop. It's to tarnish him in your eyes. You will hear no evidence whatsoever. No evidence that anything Mr. Baldwin did, that something he did in that moment, that horrible moment when she put that bullet in that gun, none of it had anything to do with Alec Baldwin. And finally, the first assistant director's job, the head of safety, Dave Halls, checks it before it goes to the actor. And he will tell you he made a tragic mistake. He failed to detect the live bullet. And Alec Baldwin had nothing to do with that either. So all this evidence that the prosecutor just outlined, all of it, has nothing to do with these critical issues. Nothing. Which leads us to this. The evidence will show that on a movie set, safety has to occur before the gun is placed in the actor's hands. In this case, this unique case on a movie set, the prop gun was placed in Mr. Baldwin's hands and cold gun was announced, meaning it had been checked and double-checked by those responsible to ensure the gun was safe. It was just a prop. They all thought it was just a prop and could do no harm. The actor's job is to act, to rehearse, to choreograph his moves, to memorize his lines. He's Harlan Rust. He's an outlaw running for his life, who in the incident in question, he's pulling a six-shooter to try to defend himself. That's why the gun has to be safe before it gets into the actor's hands. His mind is somewhere else, in the being of another, a century away, an outlaw. He must be able to take that weapon and use it as the person he's acting would. To wave it, to point it, to pull the trigger like actors do, in ways that would be lethal in the real world, but are not lethal on a movie set.
How strong is that argument, do you think, to the jury?
Pretty compelling to me, Tony. What he's doing is he's certainly placing blame on other folks who had a greater responsibility to ensure the firearm was safe. And he's contrasting that with Alec Baldwin's role, which is just an actor and who was told that the gun was cold, that it was safe, that it had been checked. And I found it pretty strong.
The interesting part to me is, you know, talking about he's in a different place, he's in a different mindset. The weapon should have been ready for him. Obviously, it was not. They said it was cold, and it was not, in fact, cold. It just keeps going down. I find both sides compelling on this whole thing. I think that there's a very interesting chance that we're going to see a hung jury on this one, almost like Karen Reed, where you can find both sides compelling, accurate. I don't think either is really wrong in their arguments. Someone's dead at the end of the day, but does it then equate to locking someone up for what was truly an accident?
Such an important point in the criminal justice system. If you have two equally plausible explanations, That is reasonable doubt that you have, because one of those is the defense's explanation. And if it's relatively equally plausible as the prosecution's, that in my mind it should lead to an acquittal or at the very least a mistrial when it, in that it's going to convince some jurors of reasonable doubt.
Where do you think, I mean, obviously we haven't heard many of the arguments yet and we'll revisit this in a couple of weeks when we get closer to a verdict. But right now, where do you think it's going to end?
You know, right now, I think that the prosecution has an uphill battle. That they really have to show that Alec Baldwin and not the armorer, not the people who loaded the firearm, is responsible for this. And they've got a long way to go and haven't made a ton of progress in my eyes.
Yeah. I'm going to go with hung jury as of right now. Who knows? I think they're, again, equal sides here. I just think you're going to have two sides in that courtroom with equal views and strong views on it. We're not talking life in prison, so maybe it'll be a little easier for them to make a decision, but I don't know. This is just going to be a confusing one.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.